Welcome. I'd like to acknowledge the continuing sovereignty of all First Nations peoples right across the country. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you, and welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Today, live in the studio, we have the aunties, Auntie Lilla Watson, Auntie Mary Graham. Welcome, aunties. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Yeah. Mary, tell us your mob, your country.
Oh, my mob. My mob on my father's side is down the Gold Coast, the Combermere mob down there of the Yugambeh, big Yugambeh language group. On my mother's side, it's Waka Waka, up near Gander, on Sherberg or Bramber, as she used to call it.
Auntie Lil.
Yes, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners first, and my dad was the Birri Gubba man of the Wurri clan, and he was a Nebo man just outside of Mackay, and my mum, she's a Kungaloo woman, and of the Dawson River area around Theodore, where we all grew up and learned to swim in the Old Dawson River. We all got baptised there by the waters there. New kids too, Tiger.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah.
The Dawson.
Yep.
Yeah. A few things. Today is International Women's Day.
Yes.
So we certainly must acknowledge that, International Women's Day. And what are your thoughts? International Women's Day, it's, I tend to get a bit negative and think it's sort of wasted recognising International Women's Day when you look around in this country and see the dominance of women, see the prominence of male roles, males in particular roles, right across the country, all levels. In government, in management, wherever they may be. But that's a bit negative. I mean, if we don't have these days to acknowledge and pay tribute to and stuff, well, how can we make changes? How can we raise the awareness? They're important days like today to acknowledge an International Women's Day.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I think it is important in a general sort of sense. The UN has quite often had international days for a whole range of things, you know. In the environment, young people, I think. I'm not quite sure.
Indigenous peoples.
All that sort of thing. And I think that's fine and right and good and so on. But I still think how it's carried out in different countries could be improved a great deal. You know, it's like as if it's, oh, well, it's just this time of year again and we'll come around to it, you know, every couple of years or something or other. And we must do something. But nothing of any real solid structural reform ever actually happens, I think. And quite often it is bound around in this system of just complaining about complaining or criticising the situation of the women or whatever the name of the thing is, you know. It's not a celebration as such. I mean, it should be. It is in some cases, but it should be more of that. But above all, it doesn't seem to have very much to do with how to make a better, good society, you know, a good society from that point of view. So I've been reading quite a few things about, say, for example, domestic violence right across the board, not only, you know, Aboriginal domestic violence, but or against all women and girls, and terrible things that have happened. But again, it's just about recounting those stories, recounting how awful it is, along with the, you know, statistics, and they just get worse every year, apparently. What is it? 2 women a week is killed. Okay, they're murdered here in this country by their partners, you know. I don't know what the rates are in other countries.
It doesn't seem to change.
It doesn't seem to change.
It doesn't seem to change.
And that's what I was always hoping and wishing for, is not just looking at, you know, how to make the law, improve the law in looking at the safety of women, social work, social welfare stuff and so on, and economic issues and so on, but actually changing the structure politically where women are actually more equal and or balanced, as we would say, on the ground, you know, in institutions and in government actually too. Like, for example,
we're seeing at the moment in
Queensland, wouldn't it be wonderful if that was an actual kind of, well, ruling, not just a whim, you know.
Yeah, but an actual ruling.
An actual ruling that women are, you know, half, at least half, not less than that, of represented on benches, on seats, on committees, on boards and so on. So. It's an actual rule, you know, legal.
Yes. Well, I think that having International Women's Day is a good thing because, to me, it's sort of like keeping the flame alive.
That's true.
How women in the past, especially in Western society, how women had to struggle to the extent they did to achieve what they see as equal rights, but they will never be equal because men maintain the reins of power, and it is they who make the rules, and women have to fit into those rules. But for them, it's always going to be a struggle if they're going to look for equality. And that's a problem. And it's much better, like Mary says, Aboriginal people go for balance because we're not in competition with each other. We can be complementary to each other. And that's the best thing to go for, is balance. And what we see in the Queensland government at the moment is very encouraging. As Mary said, if that could become a ruling for all governments to have male and female in balance in those sorts of positions. And I think it's in Western society, it has to come from the top down.
It has to, yeah, in that sense, yeah, definitely.
And just imagine it if corporations had the courage to follow what the Queensland government has done here and start to say, well, we need a new way of thinking. And it's by bringing women into positions of power that's going to bring it about. And it is through balance. And this is what Aboriginal people have always practiced and maintained throughout our political governance in this country for thousands of years. And this is something that is very encouraging to see what's happening in the
Queensland
government. But I just wanted to add that there's an index that's just recently come out, and it's an international index on women, and it shows that overall Australia has slid down 6 places on this international scale on the position of women. Now, I hope people really take note of this, because it seems to me it comes back to how come women are in the position they're in this country. And it seems to me that we see misogyny widely practiced throughout this country, but hardly questioned. We only have to look at Tony Abbott and how it raises its ugly head every now and again. But how come white Australians can't question themselves about where does this come from? How has this happened? Now, surely they're reaching a stage of sophistication, this, you know, Australian...
And maturity, yeah.
Yeah, that they can start to look at themselves and say, well, how has this happened? Why is it still so prominent? And really take it on and look at it and start to teach the true history of this country And, you know, that's a history of relations between male and females, as well as the history between Aboriginal and white Australia, in order to understand the driving mentality of the male population in how they regard women.
If you want to make a comment, 3892-0188. If you want to make a comment or ask a question of the aunties, 3892-0188. Mary?
Yeah, I was just going to add to that about there's a kind of what I call a false argument about, oh, well, look, you know, when positions in whatever sphere is being looked at, we have to go by the principle of merit. You know, everything has got to be decided on merit and so on and so on. And, of course, it just always happens, historically and continuing now, that it always just happens to be men quite often that get put onto, you know, these positions. There's always a majority of guys. But if you really adhered or explored and then maintained this a principle of balance, rather, you would have the positions already worked out as in male and female and in balance, and then look at the whole thing of the thing of merit. You know, so you're not getting rid of merit, you're just getting just putting merit in its right context, its right place after the choice of having this balance. And that would be quite good. That would be proper, that would be fair, that would be definitely mature. And I reckon you'd end up with a very different society, actually.
For sure.
If you had it like that, yeah. You know, very different.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, as you say, merit is based on male terms of reference. Mm. They maintain the power and they decide.
And it's majority of men decide.
Absolutely. Yeah. But even, unfortunately, many women have been forced into a position of operating on male terms of reference.
Yes.
And they see them because they see themselves in competition with males.
Yes.
And because they see themselves in competition with males, they take on male terms of reference, they operate on male terms of reference because they want to be just as competitive as males to be seen, you know, they can do the job.
And, you know, the clearest example of that I saw is with the whole episode and time of Margaret Thatcher. If you ever watched a documentary, docudrama, and read of her history, you know that a woman in that position has to be as tough as nails, hard as you know.
And she was called the Iron Lady.
The Iron Lady, she was called that, and that, you know, for. They would say that, well, all right, that's on merit. You know, a woman has got to the top. Those people who want to argue, well, you see, women can get to the top, but that's got nothing to do with how our country should be run in this fairer, more balanced sort of way.
Right.
Because while she was, you know, she was quite ultra-conservative, of course, Tory, you know, and really a bit of a warmonger herself, you know, the Falklands War. That was all to do with, a bit like Abbott actually, have that war because she was in danger of losing her position, apparently, at that time, you know. So what does any good politician do, you know?
They go to war.
They have a war to deflect any kind of thing from them, you know, any kind of danger from themselves, really. So just like Abbott, he, you know, very bit of a warmonger in that way too. But the things that she had to do, because she was surrounded by, in her own party, people, men mainly, who were both hated her and frightened of her too, because she was really hard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And so hard, and she was
so
powerful.
Yeah, and very powerful, and
because she had
and,
the backing
and brilliant.
Of all those
she was very smart, but she had the backing of all of them. Even though she herself came not from Tories, she came from a lower middle class, apparently. You know what I mean? And fought, clawed her way there. And then in the end, they were really happy to sort of kick her out and so on and so on. So I'm not saying I admire her or anything like that. She was hated by her own mob,
but
you know.
She really demonstrates, doesn't she?
Yes, to be cruel, you know, all those strikes at the time. She changed the face. That's what they always say now. She changed the face of England, you see, the whole Britain, whole of UK.
Oh,
for the worse.
Happened under her.
Yeah, mining, you know, the miners' strikes and, you know, millions of people out of work. And that's when neoliberalism economics comes in. with her and Reagan and so on and so on. But anyway, but just to talk about that, that, you know, it's not necessarily a good thing that, oh, well, yes, you know, women can get to the top, you know. I don't think that's the point at all. The whole point is how do you have a good, stable society and a balanced structure to help bring about a stable society, a stable politics and a good society. You know, and you can't do that by having whoever's fighting over the pointy end at the top.
Yeah,
you know, so well, it doesn't matter whether you have a woman there or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, they've got to bring the essence of what it means to be woman, it is to be woman.
That's exactly right, Doug.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the important thing.
Mm. Yes. Mm. And in that struggle for equality, the pressure on women all the time is to be more like men
yes.
than it is to be able to really explore their own femaleness and contribute that to their positions and that to society, which is what Mary says, you know, brings about that balance.
Yes.
And then it really brings an overall good effect for everyone.
For everyone,
Everyone.
Yes. And
in that.
And, you know, it's such a pity that with National Congress, you know, it was cut off. The funding was cut off at the knees. They haven't got very much left to go on with for another couple of years. But that system of balance between male and female, the gender balance, the chambers, all three chambers have an equal number of men and women, 20-20, you know, 20-20 and so on. And the, what do you call it, the national executive, that was exactly half and half, two men and women. And all the way through, there was this co-chair people. Not one chair man, but a co-chair, one male, one female. And it would have been so good to continue with this for a long time to actually examine how it works, because even in the earlier day, like a year or so afterwards, apparently there were, I was hearing and other people were hearing, how people actually treat one another in their deliberations in the boards, you know, when they're discussing things. There was less aggression. There were still definite, good arguments and debates and so on and so on, but very little of the kind of just male aggression against women, trying to talk them down, or not even trying to talk them down, just hogging the discussion around the table, see?
Yeah.
And so because it was just in balance, that didn't go on. And I thought, gee, that's very interesting. If you could see that for a long, you know, all over the years, how it developed. And that's the thing that I really like, is that if you have that balance, you have a really... the discussions and the tone of the discussions, but also the outcome of the discussions is far more. It's more than fair. It's just more positive. Do you know what I mean? So because people aren't put in a position of being competitive with each other, men and women. I mean, they're not competing with each other, and men aren't trying to dominate. You know, because I think, unfortunately, some Aboriginal men, I'm not saying all, I say that real quick. I reckon Murray men are wonderful, you know. You know, because I go by my
don't
old...
Don't get too
funny, don't get too extreme. My old father and brothers, you know, they were terrific. They were real manly men, you know, in the sense of, you know, being very protective
of
women. And, strong stand-up men. But I think some have been influenced by the Western system of patriarchy, you know, and that's very, very unfortunate, and it hasn't led to good relationships between men and women. And, you know, we've got to get back to what I've heard older Aboriginal women say. We've got to get back to balance, not the feminist discourse.
No.
But the actual balance. We want balance.
It's our business. It's always been there.
We don't want to beat men at anything.
That's a way where white women are trying to sort of get that balance, but they come in with the feminist flag flying. But it puts a different swing on things. It's a different angle on things, because it's more
based
like
on equality.
Yes,
it's based on
more
equality.
Like women being like me, and more like being more like men, sort of thing.
Well, they're so really forced into that.
Yes,
even when women do in that system, Western system, even when women are, you know, they are in different things. Like in corporations or in government and that. Mm. You know, even when they say what, you know, from a female perspective, And from a women's perspective, they're putting forward really good ideas and you know, really good things. You know, quite often men, because they're in positions of power, they reinterpret it into their terms. And that's exactly what happens with black fellas and white fellas. Yes. They do exactly the same thing to women. They reinterpret it into male terms of reference, fits into their terms. They feel more comfortable and they maintain the power structure. And that's why, you know, lots of women in the feminist movement or being feminists, a lot of them, it gets so frustrating. They either give up, and I can understand that, or what I've found is these younger women in the that are coming up and stepping up, they think that feminism has already been won because that was liberation was something that happened back in the 60s and the 70s. And they don't realise to what extent it's still alive and well and still affecting them because they've been so induced into male terms of reference and operating that way. You see a lot of young women, very smart young women, and but unfortunately many of them still operate on male terms of reference. Now, I really think because they've had no other reference to refer to, and that's why I think, you know, we Aboriginal women are in such a great position in terms of all our lives, you know, our whole history going back thousands of years. Yes, we've always had women's business.
Yeah, always.
So woman's been valued, the role, right.
Well, it's not even, it's just imbalanced. It's right. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
It's not whether it's valued or not valued, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. Mm. It's almost like I don't think there was, I mean, there's nothing in the traditional stories or anything about men and women fighting in that sense, women fighting for their place or something, like that. It just is. It's a system and a structure that's just simply always been in place. It's like if we said to feminists today, have our say in the feminist discourse, I mean, we might say, well, look, actually stop fighting about this. Just start setting up.
Don't even worry
structures
about men.
Because that's really what it is. It's
don't
structural.
Don't even think about men.
Yeah.
It's a women's business.
Women's business.
And let's women get together and women decide what women will do.
Yes.
And, I mean, why
bother?
Why bother with what men think when it's women's business?
And it might sound crazy or something, but, you know, the whole I'm not religious or Christian or anything, but the whole thing of women fighting to be priests, you know, the same as that, you know, in the one church which has been dominated by men for 1,000 years, you know, or something, and I mean competing or fighting with them to have a higher level. I mean, why, if you went at it in an Aboriginal cultural traditional way, you'd go and have your own church. You know,
women
why don't you let
their own
they want to dominate the church? Men, well, let them dominate the men's church. You know, have their men's church, and then women have their own church.
Church for
that's
men.
What we would do. That's they
built the church for men.
They
made the rules for men.
Yes.
And why would you go knocking on a door,
pleading to be allowed in?
We don't want you. You're not welcome here.
Yeah,
I wouldn't go and knock on their door. I'd go and build my own.
Yeah.
Bigger than better than theirs.
Yes. Yes. That's and in all aspects of life, that's what they should have done. You know, like a men's club. You remember people, women wanting to be in the men's club, years ago. Chained themselves to it, a bit like old style suffragettes and all that kind of stuff.
Rotary,
although
until
I met,
recently,
admit them.
Rotary was a men's only club until.
Is that
recently.
Right?
Oh yeah,
really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right.
Rotary was men only. And a lot of the clubs still are men only. Some of them have become a little more progressive in their thinking.
Yeah.
And allowed
I know
women
my
in. But a lot of them are still.
My old man was involved with one old buffaloes. That's right, the old buffaloes.
Oh, yes,
you know,
yeah. Oh, men only there.
Oh, men only there.
Yeah, working class men. I think
the secret society. Yeah, you couldn't even get blacks in there. I don't
think.
No,
but
black men.
but then why couldn't women just go and make their own clubs?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Why bother?
Let the
poor buggers have their own clubs.
Exactly. You don't want to be a woman involved in part of that and listen to the rubbish and crap and stuff that goes on there.
Yeah. Messy
in Brisbane here, and it's quite an old club, I believe, a women's golf club.
All right.
And it's been going for many years.
All right.
And this fella, because he moved into the area apparently where it is, this is years ago, he wanted to join the club, and they said, oh, sorry, we don't have main members. He took him to court.
I bet he was upset.
And he lost, of course.
Oh, he lost. Good.
Good.
Well, that's fantastic.
This is years ago. Yeah. I don't know if it's still in existence, but that was.
But you know, it makes me think of the Venn diagrams you talk about.
Yes,
men's business. You know, this is a proper women's old business. Traditional thing. Men's business in one circle, women's business in another circle. They overlap. Mm. Then there's a community business circle. And that overlaps everything, and then right in the centre is a kind of all-in sort of everybody.
We're all in,
you know.
Yeah.
And that's quite right. Eh?
Yes.
And why couldn't there be that kind of? I don't think it's like what do you call it when something is copied? Say for example, for hypothetically, you have a whole lot of men's clubs or groups or whatever institutions. Then you also have a lot of women's. You know, at some point or another, there are. Occasions and times where it all comes
that's
together.
Right. That's
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? So what would be wrong with that? To me, that would be like upholding the balance, well, equality in their terms, equality, but and strength of both. So they're equal, they're of equal strength. And that I think that's so important in a structure of balance, of strengths, different strengths and different...
Yeah, they complement each other.
To be a complement to each other rather than competitive.
Yes.
Yeah, you know? I haven't really thought it out, but I just think about women want to be on the front line in the army.
Yes,
you know, You know, what sort of thinking has brought that about? I don't know. But I think you know, if women were allowed to be themselves in the army, you know, we might see a different sort of approach to how people go to war.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that just reminds me too of it gets very murky and very confusing because I remember in that first Iraq war, the first Gulf War, first one, before 2002, what do you call it? 9/11, or whatever you call it. Yeah. I think it was before that. And apparently, it sounds awful, but they would, in a sense, what do you call blood young soldiers, blood young soldiers before they went into those battles by looking at pornography.
Yeah.
Horrible, bloody cruelty to women, basically, in these horrible, hardcore porn bloody films. I don't know, it's all very psychological, I suppose, what they're being taught through.
It is psychological.
But to do that, you know what I mean, to young soldiers in a battle... so that it makes them more, cruel, you know, shoot everybody, don't worry about it. But also raping women, of course.
Lessens their sensitivity.
That's right, lessens their sensitivity and so on and so on.
So they can commit these horrible acts without much thought. There's no thought behind
it. There's no thought, there's no consideration,
They just
nothing.
Sort of just, like on you know, automatic.
Automatic, that's what it does. Yeah.
And when that happens, they're over there in this terrible situation.
Yes.
Doing terrible things.
Mm.
Then they come back here where there's no sound of war. People are just walking around quite ordinarily.
Yes.
And there's no pressure on them.
Yes.
And then they have to deal with the psychological trauma.
The damage that's happened.
And damage they've done to them.
They end up damaging themselves and others around them.
Yes.
You know?
And it's very...
And I was horrified. Well, you put that... I was horrified when I learnt that. And then you put that situation along with women who want to or demand to be in the front line too.
Yes.
And I thought, God, that's...
There's something, yeah, there's something
quite... How can you work that out? You know, it's yeah. dangerous.
It is. It is, because it's...
beyond
yeah.
common sense or something. I don't understand all the psychology of it myself, but all I know is it's like a snake
crazy.
Pit or something.
Yeah,
you know, it's crazy stuff.
It's just really dreadful and crazy sort of stuff. War is something. And, you know, that's why, you know, what Aboriginal people developed in this country is so... So magnificent and wonderful.
Yeah.
I just wish people could understand
yes.
what happened yeah. here in this country.
Yes.
What Aboriginal people evolved and developed over thousands of years that, you know, we must have came to an understanding a long time ago war
about,
was a useless thing.
Yeah. But also that there's a whole lot of things like I know that you little talk about the psychology, like a child rearing.
Yes,
child rearing.
Yes.
And I mainly stick to the thing of structure.
Yes.
You know, a structure of a society.
Yes, exactly.
And if you get those two things right, I reckon you're well on your, any society is well on its way to being stable.
Yes.
And with social ways that are flourish, that where people can flourish.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Humans can flourish and there is a stability throughout it. You can, it doesn't do away with total conflict. Or,
no,
it doesn't do
no.
away with people fighting because that's natural.
It gives a really good foundation.
A very good foundation for a stable life, you know.
Yeah. Of people
yes.
to be able to experience their humanness
yes.
to its fullest extent.
Yes.
And, you know, that's what we want for our children.
And I'm sure that's what a lot
of white fellows, we want for all our children.
I'm sure, yeah, that's what everybody wants for them. Other societies too. That's all they really want. But they're stuck with this hierarchy and this competitiveness.
Yes.
And you know, they can't seem to get away from it. You know?
Yeah, that keeps it all in place.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I just wish that you know things like the International Women's Day and all that could go into it further in that really deeper political way, much deeper political way, and not just always concentrate on. Yes, we are being hard done by, as women and as Aboriginal people, you know, go deeper and longer and into the whole structure of it.
And I really think, too, that Western society, because it's so highly individual, then I really think that helps to keep women divided from each other.
Yeah,
there's
definitely.
Not... I mean, they talk about solidarity and that's really good, you know. You know, solidarity is a good thing. You support other women... because they're women,
yes.
not because of their politics or not because of whatever. Mm. You support them because they're women. But unfortunately, in Western society, the highly individualistic society is also very highly judgmental.
Very judgmental, yes. I know.
And that's where solidarity doesn't always work.
Yeah.
And that's why so many women can be divided off from each other.
I think you're absolutely right there, Lil. That freedom of the individual stuff is, I think it's gone into very kind of, again, murky kind of areas. Like I've noticed too all the mainstream media and films and documentaries, TV stuff, has gone further and further into this whole thing of porn. You know, like as porn, P-O-R-N,
yes.
I mean, is becoming almost like just acceptable.
Women.
Yeah, it's always exploiting females, absolutely. And
but
it's
you say,
commercial.
It becomes
you know?
Acceptable.
It becomes acceptable. And it's sort of, it's like a creeping kind of thing. And I thought that, you know, look, I'm not even moralising about it or anything like that. All I'm saying is that it has, and I think it is leading to a more even coarse, very coarse sort of view of life.
Oh, it's very
coarse. You know what I mean? And
very
I don't
uncouth.
Think uncouth, rough, and just again, just about the satisfaction of the individual.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And
that can't be good for young children growing up and watching all this, you know, and having little kids, young girls wearing bloody T-shirts. Saying something about a porn star or something like that. You can buy it. I don't know
little
if you
babies.
Can still.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
you can buy it in.
It's ridiculous. Isn't
it's ridiculous. It's gone beyond a joke, I reckon. You know,
yeah.
I know a lot of white fellows are disturbed by that, especially women are disturbed by that too. But then there's this freedom of the individual, where somebody else. Well, you know, women own their own sexuality now, and we should be able to do whatever we want and say and Yeah.
No, but
it's,
see, I think...
It's not right.
Also, I think that women really don't know their own power. And when I say that, I think, you know, women buy cars.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Women buy houses. Women buy, you know, clothes. We buy everything. And I reckon these advertisers that use women in the way they do, exploitative way, I reckon this is where female solidarity can show
itself.
That's
right. Turn it on its head. Turn it on its head.
They, if it sent out a message saying, I'm not going to buy your BMWs, and I'm asking every other woman who buys cars not to buy a BMW.
Yeah, that's right.
I shouldn't be naming off. Or a Holden or a Jaguar or whatever it is, a Porsche. You go for it. Whatever it is that exploits women in their commercials, this is where female solidarity can work.
It can work,
We are not going to put up with that. Yeah, we are not going to ride in something that's going to use women to sell what it is.
Haven't they done something similar in the way of fur coats and things and animals and cruelty
to
animals?
Yes. They refused to buy them.
An international
movement. It stopped
there.
All that.
Well, I know I tried to do it in regards to something to do with women a long time ago, but it sort of didn't happen. But I'm hoping that women will think about it more. And make the effort because, do you know, in Western society, nothing is sacred anymore.
Yes, nothing.
And to me...
Absolutely, except making money for corporations. That's the sacred.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that never gets touched.
Nothing is sacred anymore. And that really does upset me because, to me, women's bodies are sacred.
Yes.
Every woman's body is a sacred... It's sacred. As men's bodies are sacred. And we should build that respect, self-respect, respect for women, respect for little tiny girls.
Yes,
that is so important to me. And instead, Western society is all out this. Nothing is sacred.
Nothing is sacred.
And to
that's
me,
not
that is not, that's not a good way to go at all.
No.
You know, and to me, women's bodies are sacred. And that's how we should build that sort of respect through our children, to have respect for their bodies, not only female, but little men, and little men too that are growing
little
up.
Men. Well, that's exactly right. You know, I always think of that, I don't forget who it was, but being interviewed by Tiger apparently a couple of years ago, a young boy. Talking about his life or something, and he says, I think you had asked him, what do you want, really? And he said something about, all I want is someone to tell me what it means to be a man, you know, or how to be a good man or something like that. And I thought, that is so right.
I want to be a good man.
And if you looked anywhere in society now, today, you know what I mean? Like, who is going to tell that young fella?
That's
and that young fella could be any young fella.
Young white fella, young black fella.
Absolutely.
You know, who is telling them, you know, what does it mean to be a good man?
Yes, a good woman, a good man.
Yeah, a good woman too, you know, and especially when you have people like Abbott and... You know, God Almighty, you know.
And some of those black men that are advising him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right too.
Yes. Anyway. Amy McQuire, journalist, First Nations woman, reporter with New Matilda. She addressed the Greens. The Greens had a New South Wales Greens International Women's Day breakfast she addressed. And she said that... all feminists are created equal, but some are more equal than others. See, I like her take on things, this young one. She got a deadly spin on things. She goes on to say, when white feminists shine a light on violence against women, they do so, knowing government won't make their situation worse. Black feminists don't enjoy that luxury, is another point she makes. Another point she makes is she now feels uncomfortable in... I've always considered myself a feminist, she says, but over the past few years I've become increasingly uncomfortable with saying that without first prefacing it with the fact that I am an Aboriginal feminist. So there's a young Murray woman.
Oh, right.
That's starting to see things, feminism, balance, black feminist, white feminist, and things like that.
Yeah,
you know?
So she's trying to resolve this contradiction.
Yes.
That's what she's trying to do.
Yes.
And of course, we're talking about a straight tradition, the old traditional system, which is of straight balance, which had a particular, you know.
Put it on. Yeah. Awesome. Stay with us. We'll put you up on there. Sorry, Mary, to cut you off there. Yes, hello. We've got Roy.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, Auntie.
Good morning.
Yeah, Roy, we're here.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
I just wanted to make a comment. I've been listening for the last probably 40 minutes to the conversation that's been happening, and I think first and foremost I'd like to applaud everybody there in the conversations and the points they're making. So, extremely valid points, and again, I applaud it. I guess one of the conversations that just occurred recently was around the westernized approach to women's rights and just the generalizations that Western culture makes around individualism. The point I make is, you know, pretty much perceive women in general as chattels, you know, property to be owned. So the basis of this approach in Western culture and their attitude towards women in general has its foundation in essentially religion. Would the aunties agree with that? Would anybody sort of disagree? I'm just curious about it.
Just repeat that last bit again, Roy, about the ownership of women you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, again, I guess the point that I'm making is Western values have that foundation in Judeo-Christian values. So, you know, women are property to be owned,
That's right.
Yeah.
Women are like chattels, eh? And I do remember sort of talking with someone among a group of Murray women, you know, we're talking about, you know, this balance of Aboriginal gender balance in the old culture, you know, in our cultural ways. And someone was saying, you know, I can't imagine Aboriginal women being like chattels or walking through three paces behind men. They wouldn't stand for it, you know. They'd soon teach that bloke a thing or two. You know, they wouldn't be doing that. But but I know it's a widespread kind of problem that I think it's had an impact of not a very negative impact. I think I think this happened to Indigenous people around the world. As soon as colonizers came in, it was quite plain to see who was the dominating partner in a relationship between men and women. And I think, unfortunately, some Indigenous men, again, in all these different countries, they saw that as not a bad sort of thing, you know. So others saw it as very odd, as very odd, and, oh, no, that's not the way it is. But they, nevertheless, over 100 or so years, or 300 or 400 years in some cases, of Western influence, they saw that as an actual not a bad thing to way to go. And it has impacted tremendously on some Indigenous people, and especially relations between men and women, which has always really got to be equal, you know, or in balance, I should say. And each strength, there's both strengths, are, like Lil says, complementary, not competitive. I really do believe we've got to hammer that home to our own mob. I don't mean get on a soapbox or anything like that. I'm just saying we have to keep reiterating it, you know, repeating it and reminding
people
all the time, you know.
Well, only Lil made the point previously around, you know, thousands of years Indigenous Aboriginal culture pretty much essentially had it right in terms of that balance.
You guys
spoke at length around that balance and that crossover with men's business and women's business and that dominant culture approach with that.
Yes.
Real masculine approach to life in general tended to unravel that weave, and we see it now. Like I work in child protection, so you can see the roles of many men in relationships being relegated to and we talk about domestic violence being about power and control, and you can see that automatic default for many of our brothers.
Yes,
you go into that power and control stuff
yes
because you know, their roles have been relegated to something other than what they were originally intended. Yes. Like, again, you, our culture.
Yes, right. And you add in the factor of grog and drug taking, yep, and the dysfunctionalism sometimes in some parts, some suburbs or communities. Do you know what I mean? And it's just a shocking thing.
And the other thing I think,
look, there are something like over 3,000 or so Aboriginal organisations around the country, a lot more, 700, I'm not quite sure of the number, but companies, Aboriginal owned and run companies and things like that, besides communities. Just hypothetical here, I wonder how the impact, what the impact would be if the boards and communities on those places were adhered to this principle of, balance, the balance principle, and had equal numbers of, men and women. You know, out of a 6 or 10 board members or committee members, they had to be half and half. They had to be. Well, do you know what I mean?
And that's the merit you guys were speaking about earlier, it's that merit approach. That's right.
Well, it's the putting merit behind that structure. Merit comes in, not before the structure, but after the structure. And so, you'd have chairs, the seats or whatever, are there for, so if somebody, say, goes, a man, or a woman, and that chair has to be filled by a man or a woman and to even it up again.
Identified positions, almost like identified positions
among our own mob. The whole thing of a board and a committee, which is, again, a hierarchy, we can't sort of, unfortunately, get away from that in a Western legal sense. But if we made our own rules in running the place, we might be able to try to, revitalise our gender roles and our gender relationship too.
Could I just go back to what Mary was saying about how when white fellas came here through the colonising process, how sometimes men might have looked at white men and think they had it not too bad, maybe.
Yeah, that's
and,
the way to go.
And thought of that's the way to go. But all really what has happened is that lots of people, not only men but women as well, are very confused about what Aboriginal terms of reference are and what white terms of reference are. And many Aboriginal people get drawn over into white terms of reference. And that creates a lot of unsureness and unsteadiness in relationships, not only with partners but with families and with their community and with their organisations. And what I really encourage people to do is to really arm themselves with cultural knowledge in terms of what Aboriginal terms of reference are, so that when we do talk about things like balance, then we're all on the same page and we all know what we're talking about. And when we talk about feminism, which is, that's really based in white terms of reference, it's not based on Aboriginal terms of reference, where we've always had women's business and men's business. And this is what I really, do urge people to arm themselves with cultural knowledge, to understand what Aboriginal terms of reference are and what Aboriginal terms of reference are and when we're getting drawn over into white terms of reference.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for your call there, Roy. I pressed the button cut you off, mate. But thanks for your call, Roy. Good to hear from you. Got another caller on the line. Welcome to Let's Talk. Who do we have? Hello.
Oh.
Yes, welcome to Let's Talk. Who we got?
Selwyn here.
Selwyn from Cairns. How are you, brother?
Am I on, eh?
Yes.
Yes, you're on air.
Yes, we can hear you.
The airwaves are yours.
The other mob, there's a gay Mardi Gras and gay and lesbian, eh?
What's that, Russ?
We talk, all this talk about men and women. Don't forget there's a gay and Mardi Gras.
Gay men, of course. You're part of us.
Yeah, of course.
There was talk of the ability to put a head on a body transplant. There have been other sorts of transplant, and I think there were stories of people having a similar sort of emotion to the to the donor and the sort of attitude and thinking. But I think in all this discussion, we're forgetting about the spiritual man. And
yes.
You know, what I was told when I was in rehab was religion is something you learn and spirituality is something we have. And I think we're forgetting about our spirituality.
Mm.
Yes, absolutely, love. Yeah.
Good point.
That's a very good point, actually. You know...
Hey, thanks for your call there, brother.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, love. I'm glad he actually brought that up, because one of the things I have heard is that some Aboriginal men say, no, we really did run things. We did run things. And they use
right.
as their... reasoning is that they were in charge or had responsibility for spiritual strength and adherence to, like, ceremonial business. Because
that's
it was
right.
so real. So
that's
I mean,
right.
it was, sorry, it was so important
that's
for
right.
the well-being of the whole group.
That's
now,
right.
I think there was a tendency, though, to put more importance on that, whereas... and more or less say, and I think this is where the influence from Whitefellas come into, that women's business of rearing children, the very young children, the looking after the whole family and the group and so on, was somehow seen as the kind of, or approached, a kind of lesser.
No,
whereas it
no.
wasn't. It wasn't like that at all.
Balance.
That's quite
right.
in balance.
That's
exactly where the balance
everything
was.
Into balance.
They weren't
that's
relegated
right.
as
yes.
second priority
no.
or anything
yeah,
like that
yeah.
at all. They were
and
always in balance.
That's
it was,
right.
It
yeah.
was very complimentary.
Yes. Very complimentary, yes.
It put it in perfect
and
balance.
That's right. And I think they've misunderstood or misread it or have been helped that way by, what do you call
yeah,
them?
Females
anthropologists.
Being,
you
yeah,
know?
Females mm. being the procreators of life.
Yes.
And then... And God, then nurturing and that young life.
And that is incredibly important.
It's the very
important.
Essence
yes.
of maintaining
yeah.
our culture.
Yeah.
It's those
yeah.
first years of growing up
yeah. yes.
that we learn the most we ever learn in our whole lives.
Mm. Mm.
And women had the responsibility of that.
Yes.
Of nurturing
yes.
that.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
nurturing
yeah.
that.
Yes.
And that,
yeah.
you know, that little human being up has
yes.
put them on the road to becoming a very strong,
absolutely.
Independent
And that's
thinking,
the power that woman carries.
The
yes, autonomous
the female,
being.
The female
yes.
spirit or whatever you
yes.
call it, you know, in the world, in the in existence.
And then, especially young
imbalanced.
Boys being
mm.
then taken away
mm.
by men
mm.
to
mm.
grow up into being mm. men.
Men, and men's cultural knowledge.
That's
yes.
right.
Mm.
And that's the important question that young man was
yes.
asking, when
yes.
do I know I'm a man?
How mm. do I know? Who can
it's
tell
like some
me
of them
this,
animals,
isn't?
You know, some of them native animals. Female one will...
Yes.
Will carry the eggs, carry the,
yeah,
the eggs
yes,
and that,
that's right.
and
yes.
then and
yes.
then lay the egg.
Yes, yes.
And
whatever.
The male,
and the male come along.
Yes,
and he pick you up, yeah. pick up
that's,
his role.
That's exactly right.
It's
that,
in
there's
balance.
Nature. It's balance.
Balance
it's
is in
balance.
Nature, and that's what is so right. You know, whereas equality is a false, an artificial kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? You have to more or less force equality on. Whatever structure, and so that means there'll always be an aggrieved party somewhere.
Yeah,
there will be
sorry.
Some kind of an aggrievement about that. So and so eventually there'll be this natural inclination to go back against equality, and it's back and forth,
yes.
back and forth.
Yes.
Whereas if people just went with balance, as it is in nature, do you know what I mean? Which can be quite tough too, of course. I admit.
Yes,
you know?
But yeah. when things are in balance,
mm.
I mean, there's not these other pressures on your mind that you're fighting against
no,
whatever it is.
No,
instead,
no.
it frees up the creative mind
yes, yes.
to be able
That's
to
right.
function and you're able to experience your humanness to a greater extent.
Yes, yes, absolutely, yes. Well.
We're just about news time. Fantastic. That like... Just a discussion, and to have Selwyn come in at the end.
Oh, that was great! I'm so glad he brought that up.
That was great because that's what's happened with Western society.
Mm.
The spirituality has been taken out of everything.
Yes,
and nothing is sacred now.
No,
nothing
is
sacred.
And they have to find things that are sacred again.
Mm.
You know, we say the land, of course. You know, basically, the beginning point is the land, but. But they've got to start somewhere. Not sacred.
Our bodies are sacred.
Yes, yes.
And we need to grow up our children with that understanding.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, ladies,
yep.
Thank you very much for joining us. The end of another week and another, probably another 3 weeks or so, we'll have you back in and we'll see if we can pick up on some of those topics that we listed today. And
yes, yes.
Started out with International Women's Day and
yes,
it just
and
went on and on
International
and on.
Women's Day.
But it's very important. It's essential. Yes, these sorts of discussions need to take place.
Yeah. Especially for
in
our
households,
young people.
In families, in community. They need to take place. Yes. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mary, Annie Lilla, that you just have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
You too.